don't normally fly dressed up like a minister, but I was going to Philadelphia for a funeral about 5 years ago. And on that flight, I had to dress for the service because I got off the airplane and went straight from the airport to the funeral, to do the funeral. On that plane, you know, you squeeze yourself into those seats that are, you know, so small they contravene the Geneva Convention. And you squeeze into those seats that are so tiny they hurt your rear, and you wonder, pray, is anybody going to be seated next to me? Sure enough, here comes this guy dressed in a business suit, looks like a business guy, comes back and says, I'm seated next to you. So I get out because I have the aisle seat, and he squeezes in to the seat in the middle, and then I squeeze down and back into my seat, and we buckle up. Don't know why you buckle. You couldn't fly out of there if you wanted to. Buckled up, and we take off, and we get airborne, and we're sitting there for a while. And, you know, when I fly wearing clerical collar and whatnot, usually people talk to me. If it's not the guy to my right or left, if it's not the guy in front of me or the gal behind me, it's the flight attendant or a pilot or somebody wants to talk to me on the flight. It makes the flight go faster. Well, this guy wanted to talk. He asked me questions. Where did I live? What did I do? What church was I pastor of? What kind of ministry did I have? How long did it take to get into the ministry? What kind of education did I have to have? How many people did I have in my church? Did I have any parents or grandparents or great-grandparents that have been ministers? Was I married? Did I have any kids? I mean, just, I felt like I was being interviewed. What did I think about the state of the church today? What did I think about things like God and other issues like that? Finally, he ran down, and I was able to ask him a couple of questions. What do you do for a living? I asked him. He looked at me, and he said, would this be covered under pastor penance and privilege? Well, unless it has something to do with kids, yes. And he said, all right, I kill people for a living. Now, I must admit that at first I didn't believe him. Oh, yeah, sure, you kill people for... No, I do. That's my job. I kill people for a living. I mean, you're like an assassin? Mm-hmm, that's right. Do you put that on your IRS? You know, no, we don't do that. It's contract labor, other services. I started making a list of people I wanted to get. It's a rather long list. They'll never be missed. I was horrified. You're not joking with me. No, I'm not joking. I kill people for a living. Are you going to Philadelphia to kill someone? Mm-hmm. Yes, I am. Do you do this a lot? I make my living doing it. And I didn't know what to say. First of all, I was terrified. How did you get into this? Well, I, you know, worked for the military, and they taught me how to be a sharpshooter, and makes me sort of a professional assassin, and when I left the military, I didn't know what else to do. So I do that. Excuse me, I gotta go to the bathroom. Well, what do you say in response to this? I get back to my chair a little bit later, and he looks at me and says, you really are bothered. And I says, of course I'm bothered. I'm in the business of life, and you're in the business of taking it away. And he just sort of looked at me for a couple of minutes. And then he finally spoke up and said, well, at least I don't believe in something as crazy as there's a God. At least I don't believe in something as crazy as a guy raising from the dead. At least I don't believe in miracles. At least I don't believe in that supernatural mumbo-jumbo nonsense. And what came to my head at that point in time was this passage from 2 Corinthians, where Paul says, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. That's an idiom in Greek. Beside ourselves. Crazy. Insane. We still have the idiom in English, beside ourselves in anger. Madness. In this case, insanity. I said, at least if I'm crazy, I'm crazy for God. But I'm sane towards my sisters and brothers, my fellow human beings. If I'm crazy, I'm crazy for God. And I love people. And he got really quiet. And for the rest of the flight, most of it, he was quiet. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there going, oh, God, I told him where I live and what I do. And I didn't tell him my name, praise Jesus. Just as the captain had announced that, you know, we needed to get ready for landing and coming into Philadelphia, he turned to me again and he said, every day I do look in the mirror and I look at my wife and I look at my children and I say, I wish there was some way I could do something different. And the second part of the passage came to me. And I said to him that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. All things old have passed away. See, all things have become new. There's no reason why you have to continue as an assassin, as a person who kills people. You can live for life and do good for people. You don't have to kill people. And he just looked at me. And then as we landed and get up, and nowadays, and you may never think of it the same way ever again, but you know, when you pull up to the gate and the captain says, flight attendants, prepare for cross-check. You know, that, at that moment, you know, I reach for my cross in my pocket because I want to make sure, thank you, God, for getting me here. And that's exactly how I felt at that exact moment. Thank you, God, for getting me down so I can get away. He looks at me and he says, pray for me. I said, I will. Right now? And he says, no, just pray for me. Pray for me. And we parted company. Just as we were separating to go opposite directions, I looked at him and I said, don't do your job today. And he just looked at me and then he repeated his request. Pray for me. A couple of years pass. One of the dangers of being a minister with a public website is that you get known. My face is on it, so, and I look like myself. You know, I sometimes wonder, how did you know it was me? And you look like your picture. I mean, come on. One of the dangers of having a website that gains some traffic on across the internet is you get known. And every once in a while, I am recognized in an airport or at a conference or at a speaking engagement. People see me and know who I am from my website, from my books, or from some other thing. I got an email 2 years later. It says, I am the man who told you on an airplane one day into Philadelphia that I kill people for a living. That's how it started. My blood ran cold. The next line, however, caught my throat dry, because he said, something you must have prayed about or said to me had an impact, because I no longer kill people. And I didn't do the job that day. We can have an impact by simply being there, by speaking to people. I shot him back an email, and I said, in Christ, all things can become new. There's nothing that anyone has done or will ever do that will separate them from the love of God. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what darkness you're in. I don't care what valley you are going through. Nothing you have done can separate you from the love of God. And I requoted this passage. And I said, please write me back. Let me know what you're doing. Let me know how I can help you. Because there needs to be healing as well as forgiveness and justice as well as mercy. And I ask you today to pray for him, as I still have not heard back from him. And if he's listening right now on the internet, I am praying for you and for all who are lost in valleys and afraid of facing God. That God's love is beyond our comprehension. And in Christ Jesus, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. No matter what you face, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've been, doesn't matter. God loves you and calls you to say yes to God. I pray we all remember that. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. And I pray that man remembers it too. And I pray he continues to live and to act and to not kill people, but bring life to all.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2009 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.